This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
I look to you to heal my pain when I am bound in heavy chains. I look to you.
It has been two years, I should say, since I last spoke with my next guest after she had released her first album and came down to Melbourne from her hometown of Sydney to perform. Since that time, Frances Madden has released a second album, been to Melbourne again a number of times, and has been invited to perform at this year's Wangaratta Festival of Jazz and Blues, happening next weekend. It's my pleasure to welcome back to Bent Notes, Frances Madden. Welcome.
Thank you very much. It's so lovely to speak to you again.
You seem to have had a very busy year this past year with jazz club, music festival, private and corporate shows. What's been the highlight for you in the last 12 months?
Well, there's been a few exciting things happening. I think most recently I've just almost finished an East Coast tour, which started in Sydney, and then we did two shows at the Paris Cat in Melbourne and two shows in Hobart. And I've just landed back home today after playing at the new jazz club Dubop in Brisbane for two nights this weekend. So that was great. And so we've kind of called it the Feeling Good East Coast tour, and it ends with the Wangaratta Jazz Festival next week. And so that's been a great success, and it's the first time I've kind of done a string of dates like that along the coast. It's been lots of fun. You know, I think another highlight of my year has definitely been traveling to Nashville, Tennessee to do some songwriting and work with my manager who's based over there. It's just such a great city. A lot of people know that it's sort of music capital of the world, and there are lots of great songwriters and producers based there. So yeah, it was great to sort of tap into that energy and do some co-writing, which I haven't done a lot of before.
If you're co-writing, does that mean you don't have as much control over what's happening?
I think you could say that, you know, it just means that you've got two heads bouncing ideas off each other. And so, you know, sometimes the chemistry works with the person you're writing with and sometimes it doesn't. And I think, you know, the more that you do it, the more that you learn how to read the other person, and you can tell quite early on if it's going to work out or not. And sometimes you might not think that it's going to go well with the person that you're writing with, but there's just something, there's a spark of chemistry and you just come up with a great song. I haven't had a lot of experience with it myself, but this is what I've heard from other people and certainly what I've experienced so far from my experience in it. Yeah, I think, you know, you could say that maybe you lose a bit of control, but there's also that added benefit of getting, you know, another person's creativity in the mix.
Does that mean that the final product is actually more satisfying to you?
In a way. I mean, I do like writing on my own as well. I am used to it, and I feel like, as you say, like you've just got the control to sort of take the idea where you initially wanted it to go or where you feel that you need it to go. So I don't know if they're really comparable. One is better than the other. It's just, you know, some songwriters will prefer one to the other, and I probably haven't done enough of co-writing to decide which one I like better yet. But I do, it is a breath of fresh air to be writing with another person and getting ideas from them.
Do you believe it's important to be able to incorporate your music into your shows and not just do covers?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, you know, that's my main thing. I consider myself an original artist, and the only reason why we would do a cover in the set is if it's a song that, you know, really speaks to me, or if it's a song that I think is going to really be able to draw the audience in or capture their attention, and a song that I really love. And so, you know, in our live shows, probably more than half of the material is my original music. And then there are a few covers here and there. You know, they're songs, classics that people might know, or that we pull the songs that are covers but people haven't heard of, and we just pull it out and we do our own sort of unique take on it. So it's not a way that you've heard it done before.
So when you're putting together a show and you're putting together your playlist, what type of things do you take into account as to what you're going to put into that playlist? And does it change when you actually get to the gig?
Yeah, it can definitely change, you know, because some shows just have different energies, you know, depending on the audience. And if it's outside, then you tend to want to play more upbeat music. But I think generally when I'm creating a show, I definitely, the key, I think, to that is having variety in it, because when you have enough variety, then you're really trying to satisfy the largest amount of the audience as possible and have something in there for everyone to enjoy. And I think, like, you know, variety can come in a few different forms. It can come in, you know, doing covers and originals. It can come in sort of the tempo of the music, like doing ballads and then doing mediums and then doing some really fast numbers and keeping the energy up. And, you know, I'm lucky. I have a big band that I play with. There's usually like 8 of us on stage, and a bit unusually, I usually have 2 female backing vocalists. And so I can also use that to create some interest. You know, sometimes we do songs with the whole band on stage, and sometimes it's just me solo piano or me with the girls singing beautiful harmonies around the music. So yeah, that's just another way that we sort of add, you know, light and shade to the set.
It's obvious that you do the same thing when you put your albums together. I've been listening to live the last little while, and about just under half of those tracks are your own compositions. And when I listen from start to end of the album, I hear the same glorious feel all the way through. I don't hear a change in the styling or the overall sound. It's just all flowing from one to the other. Different feels, obviously, in terms of tempos and whatnot, but it all sounds a marvellous mix.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I guess maybe that's me trying to assert my sound as an artist. So, you know, even though we have variety, you still got to have a unique sound. And I guess my aim in being a singer and pianist is to just find that sound that is quote unquote the Francis Madden sound, as it would be for any other artist to find their own sound. And, you know, luckily sometimes when you do a recording, it really comes out and it brings the whole set of songs together as one album.
And considering that this was it's a live album recorded across 4 different nights at 2 different venues, to be able to to be able to put that album together in such a fashion is a huge task, but so well done. So congratulations on that.
Thank you very much.
My guest on Bent Notes tonight is Sydney-based composer, pianist and vocalist Francis Madden.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
You are listening to Bent Notes on Joy 94.9. My guest is Sydney-based composer, pianist and vocalist Francis Madden. Now, Francis, you were the recipient of the Sydney Fine Music 102.5 FM Stefan Kruger Scholarship for 2017. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand that it's awarded to assist young, outstanding individuals. How have you used that award?
Yeah, well, I'm about halfway through my project, and that part of it would be my songwriting trip to Nashville. And so when I was in Nashville, I worked with a couple of professional songwriters who do it, you know, on a daily basis, and they've had some of them have had various hits in the US and overseas. It was really just an experience to expand my understanding of songwriting and really start that process of trying to write with other people and working out that dynamic. I also went to work with, as I mentioned before, my manager, who I've just started very recently working with, and his name is Joe Lamont, and he actually works with the hip-hop band Arrested Development and the jazz diva from the US, Patty Austin, who was recently in Australia.
Yes.
And he was also a songwriter himself. He's just part of the Nashville music scene. So I went over there and I just got a taste of it. And I also went out and saw some gigs while I was there. And they'd have this quite famous thing called Writers in the Round, where there are 3 songwriters and they're all established. They have their songs being sung by major US artists. But you go to these Songwriters in the Rounds evenings and it's just the songwriter and their guitar, and they take turns to tell their stories about the song and they play their songs for each other. Yeah, it's just this really intimate and wonderful interaction. And you get to hear like the background behind the song, and some of them tell you sort of how the Justin Bieber discovered their song on YouTube or something, and then it became famous.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a really great experience.
It would be wonderful. What drove you to apply for the scholarship?
Well, I've always been associated with fine music, you know, because I just think community radio is such a great thing for original artists. And particularly in Sydney, they've been very supportive of me. I think I did apply for it a couple of years before that. And so I just sort of kept in the loop. And I knew that I wanted to make that trip to Nashville and so to do a recording, which was the other half of my project. But of course, you need some financial financial support to be able to do that. Yeah, so that I applied and, you know, I just felt really privileged and very lucky to have won it. And it's definitely been a big help for me this year.
So that's album number three?
It's going to be studio album number two. So I'm about to go into the studio and record very soon. And it will most likely be in Melbourne, actually.
Oh, really?
Because I'm working with a producer who's based down there. And, you know, it could be an album depending on how much material I can get ready by then, or we could just release an EP for now. So yeah, it's sort of, I guess, an organic process, and it will just unfold a bit, become a bit clearer, hopefully, in the next few months as I keep writing.
Well, we will keep our eyes and ears open for that one, Frances. And if you're down in Melbourne on a Sunday night, look us up. We'd love to have you in studio to have a chat.
I'd love to.
Give you an opportunity to play some of your favourite jazz as well. So keep us in mind for that.
That sounds lovely.
Now, you are performing next week at the Wangaratta Festival of Jazz and Blues. That's your first appearance there, I think, isn't it?
It is. Very, very excited.
Now, you're on stage for an entire 3 hours at the Pinsent Hotel. You're going to be worn out.
I am. I'll have to have an afternoon nap before.
Now, what can we expect to see within that 3 hours? I'm assuming you're not physically going to be on stage for a 3 hour stint.
No. So we're going to be doing a sort of variation on my jazz, blues and classics show, and which usually the format of that is to do two longer sets with an intermission. Yeah, it's kind of what I described before. So there's a lot of variety. It's going to have a mix of my original songs with some of our unique takes on classic covers. I mentioned that I've been writing quite regularly recently, and so, you know, we're going to have a few new original tunes in the mix and some of the older ones from my earlier album. I have a 7-piece band there, and it's sort of hybrid of Melbourne and Sydney musicians. I've got Carl Dewhurst and Tim Geldens, Brett Hurst from Sydney, and Paul Williamson, Gianni Marinucci and Harriet Allcroft from Melbourne. So very excited to play with them.
That's a wonderful sounding band. Have you played with all of them before?
I have, yeah. I played recently with Gianni and Harriet on my Paris Cat shows, and Tim Geldens on the drums, and has been touring with me across the East Coast. So yeah, we know each other well, and it's lots of fun to play together.
Is there anything special you do when you're preparing for a show such as this, a festival?
I don't like to per se change my show too much, but for the audience, because, you know, you want to sort of keep true to your sound and to the show itself, which is our jazz, blues and classic show. But at the same time, you know, you've got to, I think, consider the venue. And as I said before, if it's an outside thing, then we definitely try and put a bit more up-tempo things on, because it's just got that outdoors energy that you have to deal with as a performer.
Yep.
And you know, as the year goes on, we obviously update the set and add new songs and things that are more current. And, you know, like last year when Leonard Cohen passed away, we put in Hallelujah into the set as a tribute to him. So just little things like that that come with the time of the show, I think, yeah.
That sounds wonderful, Frances. I am looking forward myself to seeing your show next week at the Pinsent. That is...
Oh, thanks, David. I'd love to see you there.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have me there because I'm emceeing your show.
Oh,
so, look, thank you for allowing me to conduct my research live to air tonight here on Joy 94.9.
Oh, my pleasure. I hope you can remember it all for the intro.
Most definitely. Yeah. Frances, thank you for chatting tonight. A listener wants more information about the festival, of course. It's wangarattajazz.com. But you also have your own website, francismadden.com, where there's a whole lot of amazing information to watch, to listen, to learn about, and well worth checking out. I thought, because we're sort of in that October 31 Halloween season, it would be great to go out with a piece that you've composed called Haunting Melody, because it is such a beautiful melody that you've written.
Thank you. That sounds lovely.
Excellent. Well, Frances, look forward to seeing you next week at Wangaratta. In the meantime, here is Haunting Melody on Joy 94.9.
There's a haunting melody that plays on in my tent. Anywhere, any time of day, in moonlight at its best.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air.
Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.